Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unmistakable Mate by Jess Bryant, narrated by Daniela Accitelli. Chapter 1. Every cell in Maya DeLuca's body tingled with apprehension. Her wolf was pacing beneath her skin, itching to be set free, despite the fact that the full moon was well over a week away. She didn't know why, but all day she'd felt like she was holding her breath, waiting for the other shoe to drop. She couldn't shake the feeling that something was coming, something big, and it was making her edgy. Earlier in the day, she'd almost convinced herself that she was just nervous about the family dinner her older siblings had called. She always got a little anxious when they were all in the same room. With her older brother Leo, as the pack alpha of the Crescent Wolves, and her older sister Luna, installed as the queen of the Moray pack, they were powerful shifters. Add in that both their mates were alphas, and that her younger sister, Nova, also had the power of a seer, and the air was practically charged with magic when they were all together. It had always made her own wolf uncomfortable, being in the middle of so many dominant personalities, so it made sense. But she'd left the dinner and the Moray pack lodge behind to walk home 20 minutes ago, and still the restless, anxious energy vibrated in her bones. Maybe she needed to shift and let her wolf run. Maybe then she could figure out what it was that had prickled her instincts and was fraying her nerves. Maybe her wolf just needed to be set free. Maya had learned over the years that her wolf couldn't always wait for a full moon to stretch her legs. Sometimes she needed the freedom to run just to know that she could. Sometimes she needed the feel of her home territory under her paws to put her at ease. But Maya had let her do just that a couple of days ago, and normally going home would ease her wolf for at least a few weeks. Logically, she knew that keeping her wolf away from Crescent territory wasn't exactly healthy for either of them, and was likely the cause of her wolf's near-constant anxiety, but she'd been making the situation work for years now. After the attack that had left her parents deceased, all of the DeLuca children's lives irrevocably changed. Luna, Maya, and Nova had been kidnapped by the power-hungry wolf who had staged the coup. Their brother had been chased out of the territory by Maddox Clary and his traitorous friends. With no other solution at hand, Leo had gone to the neighboring pack for help rescuing his sisters. That one act, that one decision, had been fate at work. Only nobody had known it. Leo certainly hadn't known that entering Moray territory would lead him to his fated mate, Darius Moreno, the Moray pack head enforcer. And nobody could have predicted that Michael Hudson, the Moray pack alpha, would forge a mate bond with Luna in the process of saving them all. Well, nobody except for Nova, whose visions for the future had set all of it in motion to begin with, and who, since she was only a child at the time, was the only DeLuca that seemed relatively unscathed by the whole ordeal. Maya, on the other hand, had been traumatized so badly that she still found it difficult nearly 6 years later to be back among her pack. Each time she returned to Crescent territory, she relived the pain of seeing her parents brutally murdered. Every moment she was there, the darkness of those days where she'd been held captive and repeatedly tortured crept further out of her subconscious and tried to overtake her. She was still a Crescent wolf, and as a DeLuca, a princess of the pack her family had ruled for generations, but it hurt too much to spend time there, so she stayed away as much as she could. She had done her best to split her time between her two older siblings and their packs until she came of age, but as soon as she'd turned 18, she'd told them both that she was moving out and getting her own place. The constant back and forth had left her wolf confused about where they belonged, and her family ties to both packs didn't help matters any. Having her own space separate from each territory had helped to settle her, but even years later her wolf demanded she return to Crescent territory on full moons. She'd found it helped soothe her animal side if she went back regularly, but if her wolf had started to need the reassurance of home more often, then she wasn't sure what she would do. For a long time now, she had considered the possibility of leaving the Crescent Pack entirely. She had ties to the Moray Pack now that Luna was queen. Her wolf could find a home amongst them. She was sure of it. But whenever she thought about cutting ties to her pack and starting over, she couldn't help but think of her father and mother, of the way it would have broke their hearts to see her abandon all they'd worked for and created. She always ended up imagining the hurt and betrayal on Leo's face, and decided to leave the decision for another time, rather than upset the carefully balanced house of cards that her family had managed for years. She knew she would have to make a decision someday, but she didn't like the idea of anyone forcing her into it, especially not her own wolf.
"Well, well, what do we have here?"
Maya had been so lost in her thoughts that she'd forgotten to pay attention to her surroundings, and the voice caught her off guard. She glanced up and immediately frowned. There were two men in her path, and considering they were standing outside of Hyde's pub, she could only assume they were drunk and looking for trouble. Her wolf gave a low growl, more than happy to serve them up with a double helping, but Maya took a deep breath and tried to remain calm.
"What's a beautiful girl like you doing walking alone in the middle of the night?"
the second man sneered at her as the first looked her up and down lasciviously. "I'm going home," she spoke evenly. "If you'll excuse me." They didn't move, and some part of Maya had known that they wouldn't. Her jaw clenched. She didn't recognize them, and the fact that they didn't recognize her told her all that she needed to know about them. They weren't locals. Everyone in Noir, Louisiana, knew who Maya DeLuca was. Either they knew her as a princess of the Crescent Pack, or as the younger sister of the Moray Pack, Queen. If these two didn't know her on sight, then they weren't from around here. More than that, though, she could sense magic on them. Yet she didn't scent another wolf. They weren't wolf shifters, but they weren't human either. She couldn't be entirely sure what species they were, and she didn't like that any more than she liked the way they were looking at her. They were young, probably barely legal, and had either been tossed out of Hyde's or come out for some air in a futile attempt to sober up. They couldn't hold their alcohol, and they were just drunk enough and dumb enough to think they had the upper hand because there were two of them and only one of her. They were wrong. Maya knew what they saw when they looked at her. Just a girl, young and alone, weak and helpless. What they didn't see, what they couldn't see, was that Maya's days of being powerless were long since past. She knew what it was like to be too young and too weak to defend herself. When she'd been taken hostage, she had fought with every bit of strength she had, but it hadn't been enough. She hadn't been strong enough to save herself or her sisters from the monsters that tormented and tortured them. She'd had to rely on someone else to save her, and she had vowed to never need a man to keep her safe ever again. She was strong now. She'd spent years training with pack enforcers. She could take care of herself. She might be a princess, but she didn't need any knight in shining armor to come and rescue her. Whatever these men were, whatever they wanted, she could handle whatever they tried to throw at her. A smile twitched at the corner of her lips as she shifted into a defensive position. Maybe a fight was exactly what she needed to calm the uneasiness that had plagued her all day. It wouldn't be the first time she'd give her emotions wings by using her fists, and she'd never minded a little pain so long as she had the chance to dish it right back. Instead of backing away from the leering men, she stepped closer to them.
"I don't think you're going anywhere."
The taller of the two stretched up to his full height so that he loomed over her. "If you're sober enough to think at all, I suggest rethinking whatever you're planning before you end up hurt." Maya smiled up at him, calm and confident.
You hear that? The shorter one laughed like a hyena. She thinks she's going to hurt us. Oh, I heard her.
The taller one's lips twisted into a menacing smile, and he leaned down closer to her, lowering his voice.
You should come out in the woods with us. We'll show you something that'll change your life. Nobody has to get hurt. We'll all just have a little fun.
You're going to show me something that'll change my life? Maya snorted. You really think your dick is some kind of magic, huh?
The shorter of the two growled. You want to talk about magic, bitch?
Show her, Slade.
Now, Hank, calm down a little. The taller one, Slade, apparently, chuckled, and Maya smirked and put on her sweetest voice, coated in sugar.
Yeah, Hank, you really should calm down, because if you call me a bitch again, you're going to make me mad.
Oh, is that so? Hank met her gaze and purposefully snarled. Bitch!
Maya took the single word insult as permission and released her tight hold on her self-control. In one quick move, she moved into Hank's space, grabbing him and spinning his arm around until she had it pinned behind his back at an angle that was guaranteed to break through even the whiskey haze he seemed to be affected by.
Ow! Ow! He screamed.
I did try to warn you, she sighed.
Get the fuck off me!
Hank tried to squirm free, but she only tightened her grip, causing him to cry out in pain.
Look, let him go, and we'll forget all about this.
The taller guy, Slade, took a step towards them, hands up as if in surrender, and Maya shifted her attention to him, watching to make sure he didn't attempt to jump her while her hands were tied up holding the other one in place. Stay back, she warned.
Yeah, okay.
Slade stopped moving, but her split second of inattention to the man she was holding cost her.
Fuck you, bitch!
The guy in her grip stopped trying to break free long enough to lean forward, dragging Maya off balance right before he reversed his weight and slammed the back of his head into her face. Maya fought a howl of pain as her nose splintered. She could feel the break in the bone, feel the rush of blood that released and cascaded down over her lips. She ignored the urge to release the man and grab at her nose the way he no doubt hoped she would. It didn't matter, though. When he reversed his weight again, her grip slipped, and he stumbled free with a snarl.
You're going to pay for that,
Maya hissed through the blood pooling in her mouth, spitting it at him where he stood, seething with anger.
If anyone is going to pay, it's you!
Hank snarled, and Maya's breath caught as his eyes turned from a muddy brown to the glowing gold that she knew so well. He was a shifter, and he was letting his animal come to the surface, right here in public, right here on Main Street in the middle of Noir. He was shifting, and she didn't even know what kind he was. Her brain berated her for getting in a fight when she was outnumbered and clueless as to exactly what she was dealing with. Her wolf growled low, not liking the danger Maya had put them in. She kept a tight hold on her own wolf, not allowing a shift, not yet. Instead, she stepped back, bracing herself, as she watched her assailant's hands turn to huge paws with deadly claws. As his teeth sharpened and his face twisted, as his jaw lengthened, and a growl of pure anger rose from his barrel chest.
A bear! A fucking bear!
Maya gaped up at him, unable to move, as the shift overtook him and he easily doubled in size. He was a bear shifter, and she couldn't believe her eyes. She'd never seen one before. She'd only ever heard rumors of them, and in all of those stories the bears had lived in the mountains up north, preferring the colder climate to that of the sultry bayous of southern Louisiana. She had known these men were more than they had appeared to be at first glance, but never in a million years would she have suspected they were bear shifters. She braced herself, knowing that, as strong as she was, taking on two bear shifters wouldn't be an easy feat. They were bigger and stronger. Her wolf was fast, though, and vicious to her core. She might have a chance if... A flash of bright lights lit up the dark street a moment before a horn sounded, loud and repeatedly. Maya jerked towards the interruption and saw that a car was pulling up to the curb. She glanced back at the two men in time to see that the one named Hank had stopped himself from fully shifting and that his friend, Slade, was grabbing him by the arm and tugging him after him up the street. Maya thought for a moment about going after them when they took off running, but the little red Jeep Renegade pulled to a stop next to her, and the window rolled down to reveal her younger sister behind the wheel. "Maya," Nova looked horrified, "what the hell happened to you?"
What?
Maya shifted her gaze back down the street, but the two men had disappeared. She blinked and turned back to Nova. Her sister's eyes were wide, and she made a gesture toward Maya's face.
"Oh, yeah, that. Got headbutted."
Nova pursed her lips, and Maya could practically feel her younger sister's disapproval radiating over her like the rays of the sun. Maya dabbed at her nose and then glanced at her fingers in the streetlight. She wasn't bleeding anymore, so that was a good sign. When she focused on it, she could feel the heat of the magic in her veins, the power of her shifter side healing her and putting her nose back together. It stung, but not as badly as Nova's disappointment in her.
"I don't know what you think you saw, but I didn't start that fight."
She felt the need to defend herself. Sure, there had been a time in her life, after the attack, after her confinement and torture, where she'd gone in search of any reason to fight. She'd needed the outlet for her anger back then, a way to take her pain out on someone, anyone, since the man responsible for hurting her was already dead. But she'd grown up a lot in the years that followed, and she didn't go looking for fights anymore. If anyone knew that, it should have been Nova. Her sister sighed.
"Come on, get in the car. I'll drive you home."
"Home is a block away. I can walk. You left the lodge by yourself on foot because you said you needed to relax. I hardly think picking a fight with a bear shifter can be considered relaxing. Get in the car, Maya."
Maya raised an eyebrow.
"You saw him?"
"Yeah, I saw him," Nova huffed. "Why do you think I came swerving in with the horn blaring?"
Maya fumbled for words and instead reached for the door handle, swinging herself into her sister's Jeep.
"Thank you."
"You're welcome." Nova gave her one last look before putting the vehicle in drive and pulling away from the curb.
"They were drunk and looking for a good time. They picked the wrong girl for that and got mad when I wasn't up for their version of fun,"
Maya spoke as her sister drove them down the street and around the corner to the little parking lot behind the bakery.
"I didn't know they were bear shifters, obviously. But I don't know what I would have done differently if I had."
Nova shook her head.
"Maya, they're dangerous."
I know, okay?
I'm lucky you showed up when you did."
She glanced out the window and bit her bottom lip, tasting the dried blood there.
"Thank you."
"I wish I could say no problem, but I have a feeling it is still a problem." Nova pulled into her parking space, and Maya fidgeted in her seat.
"Did you see something about them?"
"No," Nova shook her head.
"Not exactly. It's just a feeling that something is coming."
Maya swallowed past the sudden knot in her throat.
"I've had that feeling all day."
"I know," Nova admitted, shooting her sister a sideways glance.
"I can feel how tense you are, how tight you're wound tonight. I wish I'd seen something so I could tell you what's causing the feeling, but you know how I feel about your visions."
Maya pushed the door of the Jeep open, stepping out.
"I don't want to know if you see anything about me, ever."
Nova groaned as she pushed out of the driver's side of the Jeep.
I know, but...
No buts, Nova, Maya snapped, far too harshly, considering her sister had possibly just saved her life.
Let's just go upstairs and go to bed. Maybe by tomorrow this feeling will go away.
Or maybe by tomorrow we'll know what it all means.
Maya pretended she hadn't heard her sister and walked up the stairs to the apartment that they shared. She loved Nova more than she loved anyone in the world. Her little sister was special, and not just because of her ability to see the future. She was kind and gentle and generous. Her power could have turned her into someone cruel, someone jaded and cynical of the world and everyone around them. But it hadn't. No matter what she had seen and what she had been through, Nova only saw her power as a gift. Maya was the one that saw it for the curse that it truly was. Believing in Nova's gift, in fate, and a predetermined future had nearly gotten Maya killed once before, and she wouldn't let that happen again. She didn't believe in fate anymore, and that wasn't going to change because she had a bad feeling that she couldn't explain away.
Chapter 2 Xander Leary was lost. He had no idea what he was doing or where he was going. Not physically. Physically, he knew that he was behind the steering wheel of his classic Ford Bronco, driving down I-10 headed to southern Louisiana. He just didn't know exactly what it was he hoped to find when he got there. His world had been turned upside down by a phone call 8 weeks ago. It had been a hospital in Boulder, alerting him that his older sister, Xenia, had been in a serious accident and was in and out of consciousness. He'd been shocked to get the call, and absolutely dumbfounded to learn that the sister he hadn't seen in almost a decade had him listed as her emergency contact and next of kin. He'd felt obligated to go to the hospital, so he'd packed a bag, left work in Oklahoma, and driven to Boulder. She'd seized only hours later, and the doctors hadn't been able to restart her heart. She'd died before he had a chance to see her, to talk to her, or even to learn that he was an uncle. Violet was 7 years old, and he hadn't even known that she existed. Xander let his eyes drift up to the rearview mirror, and his heart ached, just like it did each and every time he looked at his niece. She had fallen asleep, curled in the fetal position on the back seat. She had one of his jackets covering her, like a blanket, and in sleep she looked like any other kid, not like one who had been orphaned less than 2 months ago and then shoved into the arms of an uncle she had never met. Violet was so little, so tiny and fragile-looking. She'd inherited her mother's pale skin, full lips, and hazel-green eyes. Her hair wasn't the bright copper red Xenia's had been, or a darker auburn brown like his, for that matter. It was a dark blonde, long and wavy, and he could only assume that attribute had come from whatever man donated the other half of her DNA. Not that Xander had any clue as to who that man might be. There had been no hint of a man in Xenia's life when Xander had gone through her things. The spot for a father's name on Violet's birth certificate had been left blank. He'd tried talking to Xenia's doctors, her friends, anybody that might have known something about the guy, but Violet's father had never been seen or heard of, according to anyone that had known Xenia. He was just another of a million mysteries that Xenia had left behind for Xander to try and solve. He cursed under his breath, wishing that he could talk to his sister just one more time. He needed to ask her so many questions. He needed to know what the hell she had been thinking, leaving him with sole custody of her daughter. Xander didn't even know if he liked kids. He'd never really been around any, not since he was one himself. Back then, he and Xenia had been bounced around every foster house and group home in the state, and he certainly hadn't liked any of the other kids they'd come across in those places. Abandoned kids. Forgotten kids. The kids that nobody wanted. He and Xenia had been those kids until they aged out of the system, and even now, as a grown man, he still had nothing and nobody that he was tied to.
Nobody that would even care if he disappeared off the face of the earth, which was exactly what he'd done once he realized that phone call about Xenia changed everything. He shot another look into his rearview mirror. He would be damned before he let sweet little Violet become one of those kids. He did not consider himself father material. He certainly wasn't ready for the responsibility of being a parent, but he would do everything in his power to ensure Violet was taken care of. Hell, that was why they were in his Bronco, headed to a tiny blip of a town in the bayous of southern Louisiana. Xenia had left behind paperwork, and lots of it. She'd been looking for their long-lost baby sister. According to all the files he had gone through, she'd been looking for years. 7, to be exact. The same amount of time little Violet had been in the world. Was it just her motherly instincts driving her to locate family? Or had there been another reason? Another of the many questions Xander would never get an answer to. Their younger sister had been an infant when their mother overdosed, and they were all thrust into the system. He and Xenia had been older, already damaged and distrustful, but their little sister had been exactly what a couple wanted, a beautiful, unblemished baby they could raise as their own. She had been adopted mere months later, and over the years, when he thought of her, it had only been to curse that she was the lucky one who managed to escape the system and not him. Xander had written her off, all but forgotten about her. She'd been adopted, she'd gotten the family every kid in the system dreamed about, and no doubt she had a good life somewhere and never gave a thought to the sibling she'd been separated from. He'd had real problems to worry about, and where his little sister landed had never been one of them. But Xenia had gone looking, and from the information he'd put together in her apartment, it seemed as if she'd found her. Zoe Leary was in a little town called Noir, and that, coupled with a letter he'd found among Xenia's things, addressed to him but never posted, Xenia had wanted them to get in touch with her together. So that was what Xander planned to do. As far as he was concerned, reuniting with Zoe had been Xenia's dying wish. He had to do this. He had no choice. He had failed his older sister more than once, but he wouldn't fail at this. He was going to find Zoe. He was going to tell her who he was and what had happened. He was going to see what kind of life Zoe had made for herself, and if it was a good one. And God, how he hoped it was a good one. He was going to give her Xenia's daughter so that their niece could grow up in the kind of loving environment and home that he had never known and couldn't give the girl. That's what Xenia would have wanted. A sign flashed by in the darkness, and Xander slowed the Bronco as the lights of what had to be the town of Noir appeared on the horizon. From the looks of it, the place was just as small as he'd been expecting. A little backwater town in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing but forests and swamps. It felt as if he'd driven to the end of the world he'd been behind the wheel so long. And the lonesome little town coming into view sent a nervous jolt of anxiety down his spine almost as soon as he'd passed the sign that welcomed him to Noir, Louisiana. He shook off the uncomfortable sensation and gripped the steering wheel tight. Of course he was nervous. He was about to see his baby sister for the first time in over 20 years. If he had a sudden sense of unease, it was only because he was so close to the end of his journey, and he didn't know what he was going to find. Zoe hadn't been a baby in a very long time. She would be a grown woman now, an adult with a life here, and maybe even a family of her own. It was possible her adoptive parents had never even told her she wasn't biologically theirs. Even if they had, there was no guarantee they'd told her she had biological siblings out there somewhere, or that she'd want to see him even if she did know. It wasn't as if she'd ever come looking for them, after all. Xander cursed again as all the reasons this was a bad idea chose that moment to bombard him. He should have done his own research. He should have called. He definitely should not have packed up a traumatized 7-year-old girl and hauled her out to the middle of nowhere without even checking to make sure Xenia had found the right woman. Damn it! He was an idiot. He had always been too damn impulsive.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?